I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central's Business Technology Talk Show, TCS Plus. It's brought to you today by Workday as part of their new Changemakers series. And we have a great guest joining us in the studio today. He's no stranger to Tech Central. Colin Govender is Group Chief Operating Officer at Altron, a role he's been in for, I think, just 2 months now. And Colin is joined in the studio by another friend of the show. Kiv Moodley is MD of Workday in South Africa. Welcome to you both. Thanks for making the time.
Thanks very much for having us.
So you've got a new job, Colin. Tell us about it. Chief Operating Officer at Altron. There's been a lot of change at Altron over the last year. Restructuring, people being moved around. Tell us what's happening at Altron and also your new role and what it entails exactly.
Cool. I mean, the last 18 months have been, there's been significant change. We, of course, had a new CEO joined us, Vannekop, joined us in October of 2022. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we've had a number of changes since then. But most notably, I mean, I was running the Karabina business at a point in time when Vanna joined, and I'd just taken on the assignment to run the systems integration business. So in our business, we had multiple IT services businesses, two of which I was responsible for, and another business was run by one of my colleagues, Debbie. The rest of our business is platform-based. So as Altron, we're an IT services business and a platform business. So when Vanna came on board, I think one of the things the market always gave us this feedback. I mean, our structures were confusing. What do we do? How do we do it? What is this business? What is this?
There were a lot of brands.
There were a lot of brands and bites and all of these things over a number of years. So I think the market was generally confused by our market and our messaging to the market. So over the last year, what's happened is we made a very, very strategic decision to put all of the IT services businesses together. So bringing together the managed solutions business, systems integration, as well as Karabina. And we had brought a portion of the Nexus business, which was responsible for the Huawei enterprise networking and storage piece, into one entity. Mm-hmm. And we rebranded that business, which launched on the 1st of March, called Altron Digital Business. Craig Stewart joined us kind of the end of last year, helped drive that project and launched that business on the 1st of March. And the drive behind it is quite simple. You know, we serve similar customers and similar segments across that IT services business. And the intent now is to take what we have in the basket and sell it across to our customers. And the operating model that's been put together by Craig and the team, which is already starting to show some fruit, is really, really cool. I mean, they've got go-to-markets very well-defined, customer segmentation well-defined, and they've geared the entire organization behind it. So we're quite excited about the change. And of course, this opportunity came up for me to head back to Group. So my journey at Altron actually started at Group when Mteto had joined. I was in the Group Services.
Yes, Mteto Nyati, former CEO.
Former CEO. And then I went back into business, and now I'm back at Group again as the Chief Operating Officer, responsible for quite a few of the portfolios. But, you know, if there's one way to define it, it's actually helping to drive the future of work as a portfolio. So we've got the Group CIO portfolio, strategy, implementation, and development. Of course, ESG, driving our HR organization across the board, as well as driving group sales collaboration across the organization as a whole. And of course, there's a small piece of real estate management across the board. Mm-hmm. So it's really about bringing those portfolios together and then driving it into the future.
Okay, so looking for synergies between the various operating subsidiaries inside the group and hopefully growing business in that way.
Look, I think the portfolio has been put together to enable business to drive it well. I'm in a unique position, having been at Group, gone into the opcos, kind of worked with business, worked out what works, what kind of doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And coming back to Group again, can find myself in a position where we can be a lot more pragmatic in the way that we go about some of these things. You know, sometimes if you're just at Group, you don't understand what really the challenges are within the businesses. And I think having been in the trenches for the last 4 years, I think serves well for us as an organization. And personally, I'm a dot connector. So the ability to be able to pull pieces of the puzzle together and connect the dots between the opcos, across the opcos, and with the opcos, mm-hmm. I think is an advantage for the organization.
Been through a lot of change in the last couple of years since Vernakup took over as CEO of Ultron. I want to get into some detail regarding that change, yeah. And I think it's a good theme to talk about change makers today. But Kiv, let me bring you in here. Sure. I know I've asked you this question before, but for the benefit of anyone who's new to Workday, give us the elevator pitch. What does Workday do? What's your focus, particularly here in South Africa?
Great. So Workday is an enterprise cloud management company focused on finance, HR, and analytics in the cloud. We've been in South Africa since 2018, and we service a number of JSE-listed companies and international companies in the country as well.
Okay. And Ultron is one of your customers?
Ultron's been one of our first customers that we signed up, I think, Colin, in 2018, we started the discussion. In fact, when I joined Workday in 2018, one of the first organizations we spoke to was Ultron, and Colin was actually the first call that Workday South Africa received in terms of showing interest in terms of understanding if Workday could possibly be a fit for Ultron.
Okay, good. So talk to me, Colin, a little bit about your Workday journey as Ultron and how it's perhaps helped you, particularly through the huge changes that the organization has been through in the last little while.
It was interesting. I mean, I didn't even know Workday existed. If I'm being honest with you, I came back from a conference and the conference was around global shared services. Mm-hmm. In this grouping of, you know, kind of 100 companies from around the world, you know, everything from Coca-Cola to massive companies, everybody was talking about how Workday has enabled their journey and kind of, you know, made their lives so much more simpler. And I didn't even know that the platform had existed. So when I got back and I'd heard that Kiv had joined Workday, we had a call with him, and I think it was Zuko at the time, yeah. If I remember correctly, just to kind of explore and get under the hood, because we were at the point of, we were, the one Ultron story was starting to develop, and our story was, we've got all of these opcos. We were traditionally almost a holding company, mm-hmm. with multiple opcos in there, and we had this opportunity now to start to drive synergy across the group, and one of those enablements is about how do you bring your people journey together. And so we were looking for an enterprise-grade platform at the time, went through an evaluation process, and we ended up choosing Workday for a number of reasons. The first one was, I think the journey that we worked with Workday at that point in time was actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. Great advisory service coming in, help co-develop the business case with us, which, by the way, you don't find very often with OEMs. OEMs will give you, here's the price list, here's your the WBS, the work structure, etc. The co-development of a business case and understanding what the drivers behind the business is fundamental. Mm-hmm. And they walked alongside with us through that journey. Dolores Mashishi at the time was the HR executive, was appointed at the time, and went through a process with her, and the project then kicked off with Workday from an implementation perspective. And it was early days, fit for purpose. The implementation actually went really smoothly and was implemented, weirdly enough, as COVID was hitting.
Okay.
So was
that a good thing?
I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, I think so. It was well run. It was in time, in budget, the whole story. The processes that were defined were codified in the system across the board. But as you know, I mean, our business has gone through significant change since then.
Yes.
We've had a churn of a number of leaders, particularly in that HR space. And there wasn't a sustaining of the upkeep of the solution over the period of time on our part. Mm-hmm. So we had this implementation. It was done. It was based on a set of processes that we had defined at that point in time, fit for purpose. And if you go back to the customer sets questionnaire back then, I think Workday had an amazing, glowing report. But as the business shifted, we didn't shift with the changes. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had a sustained approach around driving the Workday journey over the last little period. So we're actually in almost a rephasing of that journey as we speak right now. The business has changed. We've got now a very, very clear strategy around being the leading IT services and platform business in the country. And we need something to help us to enable to drive our organization forward. And actually, when I take a step back and I look at any system for that matter, I think what matters right now is process and culture. Mm-hmm. You can take any system you want, the best of the best in the world. If you codify that for the 0.5% of people that are naughty, you're going to create resistance and friction for the 99.5% of people that actually use the system well. So I think one of the big lessons that we are learning is you can't institute control inside of a system by codifying it. It is in the culture and the discipline that you are creating inside of your business that will drive that going forward. So we had a juncture now with Workday where we're going, okay, is this fit for purpose still? If it is, yes, it is. Okay, great. If it is, how do we now shape this thing differently to the business that we have today? We're a tech company. We cannot have these archaic processes mm-hmm. that do not serve the business. We cannot create friction in the business. We should be in a position where we are creating an opportunity for our employees to thrive and for the people that are leading them is to do that in a frictionless way. So kind of we're in that process right now of working out, okay, what are the next steps for us to be able to do that going forward?
Kiv, it sounds like an ideal client to me. Do you, as Workday, I mean, do you prefer, what sort of client engagement are you looking for? How much hand-holding do you typically do in a client engagement, and how important do you think culture is in making sure a deployment actually ends up benefiting the company at the end of the day?
So I think the Altron partnership has been a great one to date. I think Colin spoke about the business case. I still remember the original business case we presented to Mteto at the time. Mm-hmm. I think it was a 2-5-1 strategy as well.
Yep.
It was one Altron to double EBITDA in 2 years. Oh, in double EBITDA in 5 years.
Yep.
And we used the requirement in terms of the strategy for Altron to think about how Workday can support the vision. And what we did is over time is we clearly understood that the business was quickly changing in terms of Altron's trajectory, in terms of their growth, and also in terms of the change in operating structure as well. So right now, the process we take from a customer success perspective is very close handholding to understand where the customer is throughout the journey. And maybe Duncan, another important point is, you know, for Workday, it's really not about the upfront contract. So we typically transact with our customers for a 3-year mm-hmm. Contract or a 5-year contract, but we want a 10-year plus relationship.
Okay.
So globally, if you look at our renewal stats, it's over 100%. Which actually implies that the customers don't just renew, but they tend to buy additional SKUs, which is just additional product over a period of time as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a very close relationship. We don't want to be seen as a vendor or an OEM. We want to be seen as a partner. But to be a partner, it's a two-way street. So it's about making sure that trust is built. The key thing for us is making sure that all our customers receive the value that they need to achieve based on the business case, but over a period of time. But as Colin and I have been having really healthy discussions, it's about taking accountability, is making sure that we can both make this work and ensuring that we have a successful project.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think the important thing, working off what Kiv was saying, OEMs. They spend billions and billions of dollars in R&D, developing these products and really enabling organizations to move forward. But relationships matter. If whoever's holding the OEM relationship, and if that relationship does not exist between the customer and the OEM for that matter, and it's just a transactional thing, this thing will never work. I look at all relationships in that way. If we know we've got the best technology in the world, I mean, Gartner says it, a whole bunch of other, Workday is top right, you know, it is the mm-hmm. best platform, etc. But if we don't have the relationship with the organization that's enabling us to execute on this, and if it's difficult to do business with them, or it's become antagonistic, then you're never going to move the needle where that is concerned. And I think with our personal kind of lack of continuity on the HC side over the last few years, we've had some of that relationship diminish. And now in the position where we're starting to kick that off, and it's weird, you know, organizations been struggling with certain topics over the last little period. And in 2 months, we've been able to move the needle quite quickly because you're able to get past the, you know, that little weird section of a, you know, relationship where you're going, I really don't want to talk to them. You know, he must come talk to me. You know that whole story. Mm. If my wife is watching this, it's a different discussion. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that relationships matter inside of these, of these relationships.
For sure. Okay. So Altron has clearly been through significant changes over the last 12 months, but even going beyond that. And I know you're a passionate advocate for these sort of relationships and partnership approaches, but the technology is important too.
Yep.
What role has technology played in your transformation as an organization over the last little while?
Look, I mean, if I just look back on the last 7 years that we've gone through, the amount of change that we've gone through, again, because we were a holdco with a number of companies,
yeah.
I think the harmonization of platforms that have happened across the organization has made it a lot easier, firstly, to do business internally, but then also it's similar processes and the way that we operate as an organization. So we show up as one with our customers. And in the last 12 months, there's been a rigorous focus on driving that customer obsession component. The one thing that Vandana's brought on board as he's joined the organization is this drive around customer obsession. It's not that we weren't customer obsessed previously, but we are hyper focused and paranoid about every relationship that we have at a customer level.
Mm-hmm.
The underlying technology that we are implementing as we go along, and we are really using the world class technology. I mean, on the HC side, the human capital side, we're using Workday. We've got a D365 core implementation from Microsoft that runs our core ERPs. We do still have some of our organizations that are running other, but they are fit-for-purpose platforms
mm-hmm.
for that type of business. I was joking with Kiv. Actually, my son went into to have his ACL repaired yesterday. Traumatic surgery for a 20-year-old who wants, you know, really do his sport stuff and whatever.
That's what happens when people play paddle, so.
Yeah.
We have an injury in the office, actually.
Paddle's become really popular.
Yeah, don't play paddle is the message I'm getting.
I'll tell you this story now. So my son goes into surgery, mm-hmm. literally 15 minutes afterwards, right? 15 minutes afterwards, I get the bill from the orthopedic surgeon. And then I look at this bill and I look at the bottom and I go, sure. There's Altron, powered by Altron HealthTech. I just dropped a message onto the group and I said, guys, it's really amazing how we're helping our customers, but come on, you know, this I mean, 15 minutes afterwards, I know what my bill is. So the point I'm trying to make around that is that, the technology and the enablement of those platforms that we've got in the background,
yeah.
they're not only helping us to drive our change, but if I just look at how we're helping our customers, you know, in the HealthTech space, the work that Les and the team are doing around, oncology patients and having the right treatment at the right time,
mm-hmm.
How they're pivoting their platform around that. If I just look at the work that Netstar is doing in the last year, I mean, it's been absolutely incredible. The amount of market share that they've been able to gain, the reduction of churn, I mean, the stats are incredible. Again, it is because they are using technology to enable that and also to help with the customer journey mm-hmm. across the board. The one thing that's critical for me, as we just talk about all of these things, if leaders don't understand the impact that technology can make and could be utilized, they're going to be left behind. And I think we're in a privileged position as Altron to be on the cutting edge, sometimes on the leading edge, of some of these technology adoptions. And our ability to assimilate that, I think we've got a high, high resilience as an organization in terms of change. I mean, mm-hmm. last year alone will tell you a story, but our ability to adapt and move the organization forward. You don't have an organization that sticks around for 59 years
mm-hmm.
By not having that as part of its DNA. So,
as an IT services group, it's almost your responsibility to experiment with the latest in tech, right? To help your customers understand what it can do for them.
100%. And, Andy Mabazo has just joined us recently.
Yes.
I mean, he's an unbelievably, incredibly thoughtful, enthusiastic, very, very hyper customer business focused individual. And he's come on board to help us to look at the landscape of technology and drive innovation. I mean, look, innovation's in our DNA as an organization. You don't survive 59 years if you don't have it. If I look at the evolution of the business over a period of time, it inherently is part of our DNA. Andy coming on board is now helping to unearth some of the real gems that we have inside of the business and to help forge the next part of our journey as mm-hmm. part of that process.
Kiv, what role do you see Workday playing in organizations like Altron in terms of helping them be more innovative and achieve their business goals? I mean, to what extent do you actually end up consulting with your clients and engaging very deeply with them on their strategies to be able to assist them? And to what extent do companies actually allow you to do that?
Look, it depends on the level of the partnership and where we're at, but traditionally and typically we do it more often than not. Mm. I think what's key is what Colin just mentioned is mm-hmm. companies like Altron have to disrupt themselves or be disrupted. And the key thing for us is working very closely with them to understand what is the 5-year journey looking at, what is the 10-year journey looking like. Workday as a platform is really well suited for companies that want to merge and acquire, but at the same time, if companies want to divest as well. Mm-hmm. So we want to be seen as that agile platform that allows companies to grow at the pace they want to and be that lever for growth. We've got a few good examples in our past. For example, when HP Inc. existed, it took them about 8 months to spin off the other HP entity as a completely separate company. So that allows companies to pivot in real time and give them a level of flexibility. So that comes in. But I think the other thing is skills. So Colin spoke about the fact that Altron's really obsessed with being obsessed with happy customers. We have a philosophy that happy employees lead to happy customers. So if you've got the right people doing the right things at the right time, and if you can measure their performance, that takes you to the next level. Now, I think the new way that we look at the way of work and the future of work, and it's something that Altron's really passionate about, is skills. So we've also moved away from a job economy looking at purely skills. So I think the one thing that Altron does quite well is making sure that, I think you spoke about the hidden gems, the hidden gems and assets. It's not just, I think, the assets you have in your operating model. It's the people.
Yeah, mostly but it's your people.
It's the people. Mm. It's understanding that tacit knowledge that exists, the skill sets that's there. And now, you know, hopefully with Workday as part of the evolution of our partnership, we can take that those skills, understand who these people are, and being able to productize that or take it as additional services into the market.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had just speaking about the enablement of it, and sometimes you think about these things differently. Workday is almost become ambient in our organization. We recently had a talent discussion around our top 100 leaders in the organization. If you didn't have a platform like Workday in the background, you actually can't do this. It becomes too wieldy as your organization starts to grow.
Mm.
So connecting back to two topics that Kiv's brought up, I think if I look at their commitment around driving skills in the country, you know, it's that our collective challenge. If we just look at the exodus of people and skills and capital from our country,
mm-hmm.
we've got to do whatever we need to do as corporate South Africa to be able to rebuild that. I mean, we are relentless in our pursuit of adding skills to the organization. I mean, doing it on camera now with Kiv, but you know, the commitment that we have with each other is that we're going to co-build some of the skills around Workday. Workday is a very, very scarce skill because it's a great platform. It's people become exceptionally mobile worldwide. But we have to continue to feed the skills bucket. Even if there's a little bit of a leak in the bottom, make peace with it. Let's continue to build skill in the country as it stands right now. The second component around uncovering those gems. You know, I just think about the incredible people that we have in our organization. In fact, most people actually don't know the quality of what we have. And if I just look at the enablement of a platform like Workday in the background for us to make life a lot more frictionless going forward, we've got a joint responsibility to ensure that we do right by our people and to give them the tools that they need so that they can thrive. So they don't have to worry about basic stupid things in how we operate, but that they can get on and get their ingenuity going.
The nature of work has changed as well since COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know what Altron's policy is around hybrid work. Do you still have people working at home and some in the office and coming and going and all that sort of thing? Maybe just talk to me a little bit, Colin, about how you see the world of work having changed in the last 4 years post-COVID and what that actually means in terms of talent retention and developing skills.
So in our business, we have not been able to get everybody back to the office, right? And it's pretty much we've created a hybrid work policy,
mm-hmm.
But it's up to the discretion of how the employees work with their managers and what's fit for purpose.
Right.
If I look at the scarce skills most scarce skills, whether it's in the D365 space or in the data space for that matter, a lot of them prefer working remotely. But what we've done to support that is we've said, guys, come into the office for very specific purposes to brainstorm, to work together on a particular problem that you're working on a project.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come to the office and do team calls because that's just completely irrelevant, right? But I see that happening, mm-hmm. right? I do see that happening because people have got this weird kind of story around it. I personally love going into the office because I want to kind of touch, feel, see what's going on and get a feel for what's happening in the organization. But a number of our core and critical skills are also going, but some of them enjoy that, some of them don't enjoy that. When we talk about talent and retention and kind of building, for me, there's two components of it. The one is we've got to build a place that people love coming to and that it's easy for them to do their jobs and that we don't make it difficult for them. We get it right most of the time, but we don't get it right all of the time. And I think the influx of the new workers coming in, you know, those people that are born kind of late 90s, early 2000s, we are struggling with kind of how they want to interact with the organizations. You know, ESG as an example has never been, it's high on most agendas right now. But, you know, typically in the past, things have been looked at quite cynically where ESG is concerned. If I look at the effort that we've put now into ESG and defining what that means for the organization, the new employees coming in are so invested in that going forward.
Okay.
As being a core driver of why they want to be at work. They want to have that. They want to be challenged. They want to have difficult work, like really tough, you know, projects for them to work on, problems to solve, etc. Then they want to be able to have some time off. They want malleability in their contracts. And if you just look at the traditional way of work, our systems, our policies are not geared for that. Now, we are slowly tweaking our organization where that is concerned, amending certain bits and pieces of our policy as we go along, as opposed to just throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But the last piece of the puzzle around talent retention is actually building more skill. So you can retain people as much as you want, but it relationship also matters. If you're not able to hang on to somebody, are you going to just say, okay, cool, thank you very much? You got to keep building. You got to keep investing. And I do think that as corporate South Africa and the public sector for that matter, we have got a very, very strong moral obligation to continue to build skill in the country.
Keith, your thoughts on the nature of work and how it's changed over the last few years, and has that played in Workday's favor, do you think?
Look, there's definitely been a dramatic change. I actually wrote a dissertation on proximity bias and hybrid working. So when I went through my research, there's a lot of specific findings that I looked at interviewing South African tech companies.
Yeah.
In fact, Altron is part of the research pool as well. And I think what Colin mentioned is there's a difference between Gen Zs coming in compared to millennials and then the baby boomers. So that needs to be understood in terms of identifying, you know, how the future of work is adapting and changing and the workforce. But the element that I picked up in my research is something called proximity bias, which is actually an element that if you're in close proximity to your manager or to your colleagues, there could be this element of sometimes accidental favoritism. So it's something just to be aware of because sometimes out of sight, out of mind.
Makes sense.
So an organization needs to be very clear in terms of policy for hybrid working. But the other thing is that onboarding plays a very big role. So this is where Workday does come to the party as well, because traditionally you learn more when you're in the office. So when new employees join an organization, if they're pretty remote, how do they understand the company culture, the message from the board, knowing the company policy, how do they connect with mentors and coaches? So technology plays a very strong role in terms of making sure that processes like onboarding becomes better. When we spoke to the vast majority of our customers as COVID took place, and if you ask the vast majority of them a question, what did they do differently when COVID hit and we went into lockdown? The answer would be pretty much nothing because Workday is already a cloud-based system. And we had amazing stories that some of our customers were able to find their employees in remote regions, knowing their addresses, where to send healthcare or, you know, how to communicate with them. So that's the role that we've kind of played. But I think as the future of work has changed, everything's about mobility. So we've also had to adapt our UI quite considerably. It's something that we're investing in on an ongoing basis. We've had to embrace technologies like generative AI to make sure that our technology is also fit for purpose for the current workforce and being able to adapt to that.
Interesting. Closing thoughts from you guys. I know the theme of this podcast series is change makers. Maybe a few thoughts from you, Kiv, before we close on how that fits in with your partnership with Altron.
No problem. So look, we've kicked off the series with yourself on change makers. And change makers for us is leaders in the country that really represent change when it comes to business, when it comes to leadership. I've known Colin for quite some time, so he's a trusted friend and you know, part of our Workday community as well. I think the one thing as Workday and part of the community we've observed is just his growth. So huge congrats again.
Thanks,
on the CEO role and getting into that from 1st of March. But also, I've followed Colin throughout many years, throughout his journey. And if you go through his podcast on Through My Lens, it's quite inspirational. The story that he tells, the journey that he's taken with his son and life lessons as well. So I think for us, it's really about identifying with great leaders out there that have their own stories to tell. I was interviewed on the Future of Leadership Summit a few weeks ago. And a question was asked me about my role model or who I see has been inspirational. For me, it's people like Colin. It's not necessarily always the Elon Musks and the Bill Gates and all the other guys that are out there. So part of this series is to promote South African talent that we think are great leaders and change makers and part of the growth of this country as well.
Fantastic. And of course, we spoke to you, Colin, last year on the show about leadership and the lack of it in South Africa currently and what might be required to fix that. So if anyone missed that, do go back and have a listen to it. It's a very interesting and quite insightful discussion about leadership. But any closing thoughts from you, Colin, on your relationship with Workday and where you see it going?
So firstly, Kiv, thank you for those kind words. I really do appreciate it. It's it means a hell of a lot to me. So firstly, I mean, Workday is an incredible technology company. But more importantly, I think the people that are here in South Africa that service their customers are customer obsessed. So therefore, it is a natural affinity that we have to the organization to work with him. And if I look at Kiv as a leader also, you know, it's good on you to drive this kind of series because we need to create awareness in the country, not only in organizations, about the need for strong, courageous leadership. You yourself are a courageous leader in the way that you lead Workday in very difficult trading conditions across the board. But the opportunity there, that's there is incredible. I think my parting words from, a challenge to people in general across the board is my personal philosophy in life is about not being a dam, but a river. So what do I mean by that? It's do not hoard knowledge, do not hoard your experience, do not hoard your blessing and or your resources. Have a river flow. A river continues to flow. And trust that it will continue to flow if you continue to give. And if you continue to give to other and sow into other people's lives, this country will be and realize its full potential across the board.
Colin Govender is Group Chief Operating Officer at Altron and Kiv Moodley is MD of Workday in South Africa. Thank you both for making the time to speak to Tech Central today.
Cool. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.